This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have Jonathan Welsh on the phone.
Who? I don't think I've ever heard that man's name before in my life.
No, you better be careful. He's on the phone, David. He's going to hear everything you say. Now, we have Jonathan who is here. Now, Jonathan was the one that started off our Choir of Hard Knocks.
I've never heard of him.
And now he's moved on to various other ventures. Now, we have Jonathan on the phone. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Neil, and whoever you're sitting with.
he's got a forgetful name, hasn't he?
Hey, Jonathan, what an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You've actually become a living legend here in Australia. And so thank you from a fellow Australian for what you've done in this country. So, you know, give us a bit of a background on, you know, like your journey.
Oh dear, how long have we got? Well, that's very kind. I've had the real privilege to be in the music business for over 40 years now. I'm turning 62 in a few months.
You're so old.
I know.
I'm older, so you're all right. I'm older.
But, dear me, where do I begin to tell the story of my life? I was born in Ripon Lee. I went to Ripon Lee Primary School. My mum was a great musician, a singer and pianist and organist. There I had the wonderful opportunity to go to a terrific school called Melbourne Boys High School on the Yarra River there.
Wow.
Which many of your listeners will know. And, yep. You know, many great artists and it's just an extraordinary school. Mm. The three boys out of the Seekers went to Melbourne High and Graham Kennedy.
I didn't realise that.
Lindsay Fox went to Melbourne High. A lot of great politicians and I just had really, really extraordinary teachers, I have to say, and people that just really encouraged my...
And so back then, Jonathan, did you still have to sit for entrance exams back then as well?
Yeah, although I went to one of what was called a feeder school. So I went to Caulfield North Primary School, which went up to year... Because Melbourne High only starts still from year 9. So after primary school, I had to go to Caulfield North Central for year 7 and 8. But we still had to sit exams and things, and I managed to slip in somehow.
Yeah.
But it was just still is an extraordinary school.
Yes.
And has won many awards over the years for its commitment, not only to music, but to singing as part of the curriculum. And they still march the boys into the hall, you know, that holds about 1,300 boys, I think, senior school and junior school. And they still sing for 45 minutes, or they did when school was in, because they believed in the power of singing.
Wow.
And music together. And they could tell at a very early stage, I suppose, that, you know, it really helped to bond the boys,
yeah,
and it helped to give them a confidence and kind of keep them calm, all those great things that we know music does now.
Yeah.
We've got the research to prove it. They were doing it for 125 years. So I was very fortunate to go on. I started my career with Victorian State Opera. It was back in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And did the very first tour. My kind of, you know, really pivotal kind of moment was to tour with the Pirates of Penzance. First original tour back in end of 1983, 84, with great John English and Jim Bronhill was in it.
Yeah. It was so popular, wasn't it? You know, like it really became, there was a movie even made, wasn't there?
With Kevin Fine.
Yeah. Linda Ronstadt. Yeah. So, you know, like, wow, I didn't realise you were part of
it. Oh, I was a kid in the chorus, and
yep,
so was David Hobson and Todd McKenney.
Fantastic.
We were all kids in the chorus, and so I toured with that for 18 months. But my real dream was to kind of go on and study opera, and which I had the opportunity to go to Queensland Con and study with a great tenor called Donald Smith. If you can find out so many recordings of Don Smith, he sang with James Sutherland and all the great singers, you know, coming out of the Second World War for many, many years, and I studied with him. And then finally I won a scholarship to go to opera. It was called Australian Opera back in those days, end of 1987. And the first show they threw me on stage with was The Merry Widow with James Hubble.
Wow.
Which was extraordinary. And then concert performances of... It was 1988 was the bicentenary, of course, of Australia. And I had an amazing time there and spent some time overseas studying. I felt like kind of the time I'd spent about, I suppose, 15 years full-time, I sang opera, that I was learning things that I was meant to use in some other way. And so I left the company in the mid-1990s and went off and did a whole range of other things. I created one of the first three tenor groups in Australia off the back of great three tenors.
Okay.
Called Tenor Australis. Yeah. So yep. we were even before Il Divo and Amici and the Ten Tenors and all those groups, we were together for 12 years and did lots of fantastic stuff. And in fact, that's where I met my partner singing on a cruise ship in New Zealand, where I met who's now my husband, and we're about to celebrate 20 years at the end of the year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, my beautiful Matt. And we've also become parents the last 3 years. We're bringing up my two great nephews.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I've had really big changes in my life the last couple of years, but going back to kind of my career, I suppose, in those days, I also was very fortunate to become, I was living in Sydney still, music director for Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir for 5 years,
yep.
And was the director there when we did the Gay Games in 2002 and got to work with Katie Lang and Slim Dusty and, I don't know, all sorts of amazing people. And that inspired me to go to America and Canada and do some study and research, and that's where I read about the Montreal Homeless Men's Choir in a Canadian Reader's Digest, of all things, stuck in a snowstorm, drinking lots of red wine, and I stumbled on this article, and it inspired me to come back to Sydney in the year 2001 and create the first choir for people experiencing homelessness and disadvantage with Sydney Street Choir, and that's 20 years ago, next year. And then I moved back home to Melbourne because one of my nieces was very, very ill. So there's another kind of part to this story, I suppose. I have family members who've dealt with mental health issues all my life. And then I was approached by the ABC and Fremantle Media to recreate the Sydney Street Choir project in Melbourne. And that was called the Choir of Hard Knocks back in September 2006. And I also want to say, too, that one of the most wonderful things that I did when I came back to Melbourne, I was music director of Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus for about 3 years.
Yeah.
But I helped establish one of my visions for that chorus back in 2006 was to set up the youth chorus. As part of Melbourne Youth Gay and Lesbian Choir as well too. So, and they're still going gangbusters, which makes me very, very proud. I think they're the only youth chorus in this country still.
Yeah.
For the LGBTIQ community. So Choir of Hard Knocks kind of went berserk. it went to air in May of 2007.
Jonathan, did you ever think that it would be as, you know, like universally loved and everyone, I don't think there'd be anyone in Australia that doesn't know of it unless you're a little kid or, of these days. But it became a part of life, didn't it? Everyone was talking about the show and everyone was in awe of what you were doing.
The short answer is no. I had, as I mentioned, the opportunity to create Sydney Street Choir and ran that for 3 years. And through the work, really, and I have to credit, you know, the inspiration I got from Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir and Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus and the community and the sense of belonging and what I saw those choirs do for our community and the voice that it gave our community, not just only within the community, but we're able to take it out of the community and really give this beautiful, positive voice. That, you know, I always knew and believed what music and singing could do for us. And it was just, I suppose it really was like a tsunami. I was pushed over and pulled under at the same time. Those first 2 years were crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, one... In fact, Choirophonauts are the only performing artists, you know, ensemble, group, band, if you want to call them that, in Australian music history that have ever won in the same year an ARIA Award, a Logie Award and a Helpman.
Oh, whoa. So that,
yeah, so and plus platinum records and gold records and all that kind of stuff. You know, we sold, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of CDs back in those days.
Fantastic.
When people were buying CDs.
Yeah.
But the most beautiful thing, I think, I'm speaking to David, I think.
Yes.
Oh, David, and you know, I know. but I think the most beautiful thing is the inspiration of that documentary went around the world, and now there's the worldwide movement of street choirs all around the world. So I brought the concept back from Montreal, from Canada, 20 years ago, and now there are people are using music and choral music in this same way. I've visited the Choir with No Name in London, the Choir of High Hopes in Ireland. I sang with for the launch of Dallas Street Choir in Texas, and launched a new work called Street Requiem that I've taken to Carnegie Hall. In memory of people written for people, in memory of those people who died homeless on the street. So it's just been an incredible journey the last 15 years.
Yeah, and
but
as yeah, but as
sorry.
I said, congratulations and thank you because you know, like, I really. And I didn't realise it sold that many CDs in the day as well. I knew that you had done well, and you won the ARIAs, it's such an important part of Australian life. But what are you doing now? Is there something special that's just about that's happening right now?
Well, I think one of the wonderful things I decided to finish with. Choir of Hard Rocks in June last year,
yep.
After 13 years as the artistic director, and kind of on after that, I thought, okay, what am I going? You know, where do I go to from here? Because I know Choir of Hard Rocks is kind of going to be my footprint in the sand, and what most people know me from. But as I mentioned, you know, I had spent 25 years before Choir of Hard Rocks singing full time, and so I've returned to doing more singing. Well, that was the plan before the lockdown happened and COVID-19 hit. And so, you know, there's so many artists, including myself, I have to say, have lost, you know, all our work this year. But what I was planning to do at the beginning of February was to launch a Mother's Day single. And I'd always wanted to write something in memory of my beautiful mum, who really was an extraordinary woman. Through very, very difficult times, she always managed to find, you know, a way of using music to bring people together and to bring great joy. And it was her great passion. And I suppose that what was her life buoy became my life buoy in my life as well, too, when times were tough. So at the beginning of February, this melody popped into my head. We were moving, having to move house, and I was looking at pictures and found a beautiful picture of her and kind of sitting there. And within about 30 minutes, I don't know, as people who perhaps write music might have the same experience, but it's kind of like a lightning bolt, you know?
Yeah.
And so I recorded it into my phone, and I decided then to collaborate with a great mate of mine, Dave Newington, who's also been the music director for the 10 Tenors European Tours, and he's a terrific musician and a wonderful person. So we collaborated to write this song called Grateful, which I've just released this week out to the world. And but I only recorded it 4 weeks ago at the Clock Tower Theatre.
Oh, okay.
In the middle of the lockdown.
Yeah.
Well, I had, with everything, I'd planned to record it with a live, you know, band. But we, so we had to have the orchestration done digitally by computer. It's amazing what they can do now with all this extraordinary sampling of these these instruments, because it really sounds like a live orchestra. But I hadn't recorded my vocals, so I was going to record it in my garage out the back, and I had a phone call from the fantastic Vito Mattarelli, who's the manager at
I know him well.
Clock Tower.
Yeah.
Do you know Vito?
Yeah.
Such a lovely man. Yeah. And I've sung there many times over the last few years, and I was planning to. I'm supposed to be doing the Christmas concert there at the end of the year, but he sent an email to me and said, have you got any digital stuff we can put online to support you and all the other artists that are kind of out of work now? And by the way, the theatre's vacant, and obviously we can't have audiences in there, but they're still paying the staff, which is fantastic. And I thought, oh, I can get into the stage because I can physically distance with everybody. So we went in with a portable recording gear, and in 90 minutes I went in with gloves and a mask to start. I'd take the mask off. I recorded the vocals in about 90 minutes and then found a really, really great videographer and with a handheld camera and some lights and a smoke machine in the Clocktail Theatre. I recorded the video clip.
Right.
So if people want to go and have a look at that, it's on YouTube. So if you tap in Grateful and my name, Jonathan Welsh, that will come up. But it's available on iTunes. The track's available on iTunes as well too.
Well,
I just want to say, I think that I haven't changed a word in the song. You probably want to play it and maybe we can have a chat after about it.
No, unfortunately, we've got to move on. We can do it. Let us. We've just got an important sponsorship announcement.
What we can actually do is play the song and then do the announcement.
Okay.
We'll just play the song now.
Yeah. So stay on the line. You're on Joy 94.9. Sure. And this is Jonathan Welsh's song, Grateful.
Times when life will take a road that's unexpected, days seem long and harder than they should, when all my hopes and dreams turn into pain and heartache, you are always there to calm my world. Forever and for always I know you'll be with me in everything I do and everything I say. Grateful for your love each day. Stood in silence and just listened to my stories, gave me hope and dried my tears without a word. Gentle.
You want to straighten your teeth? Invisalign is the world leader in aligner therapy and can help you correct your smile without any crazy wires and without anyone even knowing what's happening. Invisalign can help with other dental conditions as well, like healthy gums and breathing issues. Ask for your free Invisalign consultation at Hampstead Dental. For more information, visit www.hampsteaddental.com.au. Hampstead Dental is a proud Joy sponsor.
Here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. And before that message, we had Jonathan's song, Grateful. And Jonathan's on the line with us. So, Jonathan, we just played the song that you just said was... It's just been released, is it?
Just this Wednesday, Neil. On iTunes, yes.
And so that is obviously available to anybody. And that was a lovely song. And you said it was written about for your mother.
Well, she was the inspiration for it, really. As I mentioned, you know, I was moving at the beginning of February and kind of found this photograph and sitting there and just kind of reminiscing, really. And that melody popped into my head. So, and then I spent following kind of a few weeks just working out what it was that I really wanted to say, and the word grateful just kept coming back into my head. But I think we haven't changed a word of the lyrics, particularly with what's going on at the moment, you know, and everybody's experiencing so much separation and isolation. I think a lot of people have said that they really found the song resonated with them because perhaps they're away from their loved ones or they're separated from, you know, people who, partners or friends are working on the front line or out there in essential services. And just, I think during this time, you know, it's a time, strange time of almost kind of feels like there's a pause button on the world and we have an opportunity to reflect on life. And I've certainly been using this time, although it's pretty busy here with our two boys who are only 10 and 12, so we're homeschooling as well too, amidst trying to work from home as well too. But I think, you know, during this very stressful time, we automatically kind of go in, you know, hardwired to kind of go into that fear mode. And what I find really helps me in my life to kind of shift myself out of that headset is to try and just remember what it is that we do have in life, whether it's, you know, we're sitting in a room where we've got heating and lights and water we can turn on, you know, a beautiful bed to get into at night and be warm. When there are people in India, you know, the only way they can physically isolate is to be up trees.
Yeah, no, definitely you're right. We have got time now and we should really spend our time to reflect
and to be grateful. Yeah.
Exactly. So and, I think that's very
and Jonathan, your voice is sounding as good as ever. So congratulations on that song. It's a beautiful song. And as you said, it's available now on iTunes.
Yes, yeah, and Spotify and, you know. Yeah.
Spotify, yep.
And I'm assuming, Jonathan, that there are... Do you have any social media pages that people... If people are obviously interested in what you're up to, and, you know, once all this happens, you know, lifts up, then if you are performing anywhere or anything, then they can just keep a track of?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm in Facebook and Instagram. My Facebook page is... Well, Jonathan and Welsh is spelled a bit of a weird way, as you know, JonathanWelsch. And I have a Jonathan Welsch artist page, Facebook page, but I've got a web... My website is just jonathanwelsch.com as well,
right.
too.
And,
but
yeah.
I just wanted to say to you, a joy, you know, I think the work that you've done there for many, many, many years, and you've been so supportive of me and many artists over the years, to how grateful I am, and I'm sure many people are, that you're still there for us and helping to keep us connected and feel like that we've got a voice out there still as well too.
Thank you. Well, that's what we're here for. We're a community radio station. We're here to represent our community, and people like yourself. It's an honour for us to support somebody like you because you've done so much here in Australia. And so, people get out there and buy this single of Jonathan's, and it's called Grateful.
Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Lovely to be with you. Stay warm and well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
J94.9. Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.